Translation, Sri Shukadev Goswami said, when Mother Yashoda's baby was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around, this attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. In such a ceremony called Uttan, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, the child is properly bathed. Just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Yashoda celebrated this ceremony with other women of the neighborhood. On that day, there was a conjunction of the moon with the constellation Rohini. As the Brahmins joined by chanting Vedic hymns and professional musicians also took part, this great ceremony was observed by Mother Yashoda. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There is no question of overpopulation or of children's being a burden for their parents in a Vedic society. Such a society is so well organized and people are so advanced in spiritual consciousness that childbirth is never regarded as a burden or a botheration. The more a child grows, the more his parents become jubilant, and the child's attempts to turn over are also a source of jubilation. Even before the child is born, when the mother is pregnant, many recommended ritualistic ceremonies are performed. For example, when the child has been within the womb for 3 months and for 7 months, there is a ceremony the mother observed by eating with neighboring children. This ceremony is called Svada Bhakshan. Similarly, before the birth of the child, there is the Garbhadan ceremony. In Vedic civilization, childbirth or pregnancy is never regarded as a burden. Rather, it is a cause for jubilation. In contrast, people in modern civilization do not like pregnancy or childbirth, and when there is a child, they sometimes kill it. We can just consider how human society has fallen since the inauguration of Kali Yuga. Although people still claim to be civilized, at the present moment there is actually no human civilization, but only an assembly of two-legged animals. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Kadachid O Tanika Kotu Kaplave, Janmarksha Yoge Samaveta Yoshitam, Madara Gita Dwija Mantra Vachalaish, Chakara Sunor Abhisheshanam Sati. Shukadeva Goswami said, when Mother Yashoda's baby was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn round, this attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. In such a ceremony called Uttana, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, the child is properly bathed. Just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Yashoda celebrated the ceremony with other women of the neighborhood. On that day, there was a conjunction of the moon with the constellation Rohini. As the Brahmins joined by chanting Vedic hymns and professional musicians also took part, this great ceremony was observed by Mother Yashoda. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So I'd like to ask the assembled Vaishnavas to please bless this fallen soul that we might be able to share some nice realizations and experiences today so that we can become inspired to move forward in our Krishna consciousness. We need inspiration. Without inspiration, we won't be inclined to do anything, even get out of bed in the morning. You need inspiration to do that. I remember when I first joined the movement, they taught us, upon awakening, you should jump up and say, Hare Krishna, you know. And that was a real challenge. It was very difficult to do that. So the temple president used to come in with a mridanga, you know, chanting the Ishopanishad mantras at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can imagine what that sounds like when you're half asleep. Om Purnamadaha Purnami. Boom, bang, boom, bang, you know. And that certainly did the job. It got everybody up. This purport, right, like all of Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada said, every word in Krishna consciousness is filled with infinite meanings. It depends on your realization, right? We observe the world according to who we are. According to the quality of our consciousness, that's how we interpret everything. If our consciousness is at ground zero, we're going to interpret our environment in terms of that of, you know, the cats, dogs, and so forth and so on. But if our consciousness is actually human consciousness, and human consciousness means Krishna consciousness, that's human consciousness. Anything less than Krishna consciousness is barely human. Srila Prabhupada gives a perfect example here. People think that the birth of a child is a nuisance, right? Now, Prabhupada also says in other places, people want to become involved in sex life, but they don't want to take responsibility. What does the word responsibility mean? Responsibility means the ability to respond. Isn't it? That's what responsibility means, the ability to respond. To respond means what? To accept one's prescribed duties, to accept one's responsibilities. So here, Srila Prabhupada is giving the proper paradigm for a peaceful human society, which is what? Vedic society. Before birth, during pregnancy, and after birth, what's going on? Ritualistic ceremonies, purificatory ceremonies. What does this word purificatory mean? It means that which purifies. Purification. Why is that necessary? Because purificatory ceremonies remove the coverings in the heart. What coverings? The coverings of material desire. This is why we can't see Krishna. This is why we can't see the cowherd boys. We can't see the gopis. We can't realize that we're actually in the spiritual world right now. Somebody might say, where are the cowherd boys? Where are the gopis? Fair enough. You don't want to see them. You know? We don't want to see Krishna. The temple is the halfway house. You know, for those who have actually had enough Sukriti in previous lives to come to this point. What does the word mandir mean? Man means the mind, and dira means peaceful. So the temple means, mandir means, a place where the mind can be peaceful. Why is the mind peaceful here? Because the atmosphere is saturated with Krishna consciousness. And that's the only platform of peace. I was thinking last night when I was at work, I was, you know, driving the bus through Oxford Street, and the vibes are just terrible. You know, it's all passion and ignorance, and, you know, you can feel it out in traffic. Everyone hates everyone, you know. And, you know, and if you're not very advanced, you can become affected. I found myself falling into, like, road rage and all these ridiculous things, you know, anger. I was remembering things that people said to me, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You know, everybody has a revenge. You know, we've all been through this. Everybody's got a revenge list, you know. The next time I see him, I'm going to put him in his place for something he said 15 years ago, you know. Yesterday I was fooling around on Facebook and I found a group. You know, there's so many groups, right? This particular group, forget the name of it. Don't want to mention the name of it. They're like amateur philosophers. You know, there's a lot of groups like that. And they share their own speculations. I think it's like this. I think it's like that. I think it's like this. I think it's like that. So I thought, all right, what have I got to lose? I'll put in a little comment. So my comment had to do with, you know, a very important Vaishnav secret. What's the Vaishnav secret? Prabhupada said, the crest jewel on the head of a Vaishnav is what? Humility. Right? To see oneself as lower than the straw on the street. To be able to see that is a tremendous gift, a tremendous blessing. Lower than the straw on the street, paradoxically, is a very high-level realization. Srila Prabhupada, the pure devotees, you know, we worship them, we say they're so exalted, we glorify them. But how do the pure devotees see themselves? They see themselves as lower than the straw on the street. It's extraordinary. We don't dare look at them like that, but that's what they see. So these people were all putting in their comments, you know, and there was one woman, her name was Joy, by the way, Joy. And I put in a little suggestion. I said, knowledge, realization comes from humility. And she just went berserk. She started sending text after text after text saying, oh, you mean I'm not supposed to express myself? I'm supposed to be afraid that somebody else might feel insecure and I can't say what's really on my mind? No. That's not what it means. It means we speak our truth without false pride. That is human civilization. You know, what got us here in the first place? False ego. We want to become free from that. We want to transcend all mundane duality. So here, Srila Prabhupada is giving a hint. Yajna vai Vishnuhu. Yajna, sacrifice, is meant to please Vishnu. Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. I am the bhokta. Krishna says, I, not you. He says, I am the bhokta. I am the enjoyer of what? All yajna and all tapas. Maharaj Rishabhadev says to his 100 sons in the fifth canto, Nayam deho deho bhajam niloke kashtan kamanaharte vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putrukayena sattvam shud yed yasmad brahmasukyam tunantan. You want brahmasuk? You got to do tapo divyam. No tapo divyam, no brahmasuk. That's it. Full stop. What's tapo divyam? Tapa means austerity and penance. voluntarily accepting some inconvenience for the sake of a higher goal. We've all had that experience, you know. How many people, well, some people do it. There are some people who get up very early in the morning. Sometimes when I'm on the early shift, you know, I'm out there driving at 5 o'clock in the morning. There's actually people waiting for the bus. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it's not only the devotees who are austere getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Other people are doing the same thing. So tapa, that's the keynote of the whole universe. When Lord Brahma appeared on top of the navel of the lotus flower of the coming from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, what's the first thing he heard? Tapa, 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 tapa. What does that mean? That means that in order to be successful, in order for Brahma to create, he had to perform some penance, he had to perform some austerity. If we want to be successful in Krishna consciousness, we have to be ready, willing, and able to bite the bullet. Whatever shape it takes, you know, to swallow your false ego. It doesn't mean we can't have a polite discussion. Somebody comes and takes a bite out of our false ego, as they do every day, you know. You don't have to punch them in the nose, but there's nothing wrong with saying to that person, excuse me, Prabhu, why did you say that? You know, and then all of a sudden they have to explain themselves. I saw this thing on Facebook. I'm a Facebook addict, sorry. I'm looking for a support group, Facebook Anonymous. There's a lady, an English lady, by the name of Marissa Pierce. I don't know if you ever heard of her. She's a psychologist. And she travels around the world giving talks. And she said, if somebody comes to, like, attack you verbally, right, there are different things you can do. She said, the first thing is, somebody comes and insults you. Somebody comes and says, you're a fool. The first thing you say is, oh, thank you for sharing that. You know? And if they insist, then you say to them, sorry, I didn't get that the first time. Would you mind repeating that? You know? And that forces them to look at themselves, you know? And if they still insist, then you say, are you trying to make me feel bad about myself? Notice how it's completely dispassionate. It's not like, who do you think you, you know. And then if they still insist, you can say, you know, this isn't going to work because I've made a promise to myself not to allow any negativity in. And if they still insist, they're still pushing, they're still trying to insult you, then you can say, did you know that people who are very inclined to finding fault have a very low image of themselves? And if that doesn't work, well, I don't know. It's up to you. You know, it's either fight or flight at that point, you know. But the point I'm trying to make is that we're here because of false ego, right? And we're very much proud of ourselves. I told this woman yesterday on Facebook, I said, we are not big philosophers. We are microscopic specks trying to make sense of our existence. That's what's going on. This constant search. Prabhupada said it years ago. He said, everybody's looking for Krishna. Even the plants, the trees, anybody who's looking for any kind of relief. 8,400,000 species of life, they're all looking for the same thing, relief. Everybody wants relief from the relentless onslaught of the material nature. You know, people go for a Sunday drive through the countryside and they say, oh, look at all these beautiful trees, you know. What they don't know is that just below the surface of the ground, the branches of those trees are fighting with each other to see who's going to get the water. It looks nice, you know. When we observe the material, they used to have this thing in the kids' comic books, they used to say, they'd show you a drawing and they'd say, what's wrong with this picture? You know, and you had to figure out what was wrong with the picture. So, what's wrong with the present picture of human society? Prabhupada says it right here, two-legged animals, that's all. I mean, Prabhupada also said, you know, they make best friends with the dog and they kill the child in the womb. What kind of society is that? Now, that's nothing against dogs, by the way, in case there are any dog lovers here. That's not, you know, I'm not having to go at dogs. But I'm just saying in general, Prabhupada mentions like that. He said, people kill the child in the womb. I remember, yeah, euphemisms. What do they call it nowadays? Termination. That's really polite, isn't it? Polite for what? Murdering the child in the womb. And some other, I don't want to say the word I'm thinking, persons came forward some years ago and said, life doesn't begin until the fetus is 26 months old. Wow. That is gross insanity, you know. Prabhupada informs us, the soul is carried in the semina of the male, injected into the womb of the female. As soon as they connect, life begins. Any disturbance after that is murder. And in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, anybody who participates in that kind of an activity, right, Whether you're directly involved or indirectly involved, you support that activity, has something to do with it. What happens? He said, they will never see the light of day. They will go from womb to womb to womb to womb to womb to womb to womb and be killed again and again and again and again and again. So it kind of makes you wonder, who is it that that's happening to now? Is that somebody who did it in the past? For every action, there's a reaction. The prefix RE means again, right? So action, reaction. Action, again, another action. Action, again, another action. Action, again, another action. So here, Prabhupada's giving the paradigm for a civilized human society. Yajna, tapa, sacrifice. Now, obviously, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj were not poor people. You know, they weren't on the poverty line. Nanda Maharaj had, how many cows was it? I forget, some outrageous figure. Anybody know? Thousands and thousands of cows, something like that. He was the king of the cowherd men. So they could afford to put on a lavish ceremony. And if you notice Krishna, he never appears, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me he never appears in poverty. You know, because he's the possessor of all wealth, strength, beauty, knowledge, and fame. So whenever and wherever Krishna appears, he's always, you know, very, very opulent. He always appears in very opulent surroundings. Now, to perform these purificatory ceremonies is actually secondary for us. We can do it. Some people have the money. This is not a Kali Yuga procedure. This is for like previous ages. Maybe Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga. Perform these rituals, you know, before pregnancy, during pregnancy, and after the child is born, you know. But there's no guarantee. We've seen a lot of people born into the Krishna consciousness movement who, when they were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, were running around wearing dhoti and sari and, you know, chanting, and then they become like 18, 19 in their 20s, and they're out at the concerts taking drugs and drinking alcohol. Sorry, but that's as it is. And that's what's going on. Why? Because at a certain age, the senses are stronger than the intelligence. But then later, as we get older, the intelligence becomes stronger than the senses. And those same people, those same children, will eventually come back to Krishna consciousness because the seed has been planted within them. So Prabhupada said that. He said there's no guarantee, even if a child is born into a high-class family, there's no guarantee that that child will not go bad. No guarantee. Because of the law of karma. I have a personal experience with that. I had a school chum when I was back in the day. This goes back to like, I don't know, 1963 maybe. How old were we then? About 16 or something. And this boy, who's from a very wealthy family, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, and Shri, he had it all. Birth in a high-class family. His father was a GP. Not just a GP, he was a top administrator in one of the top hospitals. He was a big-timer. And his mother was a solicitor. You know, they were very highly cultured people. I remember them. They were Catholics. We were all Catholics in those days. And there was some modicum of decorum, proper behavior going on, you know. And so one night, his mother and father went out somewhere to a gathering. So rang up his mates, you know, as you do. Come on over. I got the key. They had two cars. His father had two brand new Cadillacs. Of course, they could afford it. So he and his wife took the one Cadillac, and the other one was left in the driveway. So he rings up his mates, and he says, come on over. I got the keys to my father's other Cadillac. I got the keys to the liquor cabinet. Let's have some fun, you know. So his friends came over, 3 or 4 mates. They got drunk, took out his father's Cadillac. They smashed into a stone wall going 90 miles an hour. The driver, my friend, was killed instantly. And I still remember the looks on his mother's and father's faces at the funeral. It was horrific. It was tragic. It was really tragic. So here's someone born into an opulent circumstances, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, and Shri, good birth, a lot of money, beautiful bodily features, good education, and still, what happens? He kills himself at the age of 16. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Gorni Tai ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So there's no guarantee that these sacrifices are going to yield the desired result. Now, what does it mean, purificatory sacrifice? To purify. purification, to remove the material desires in the heart. What's our purificatory process in the age of Kali? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made everything very simple. Why? Because he knows quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. The earth, planet, the globe at this present moment, am I allowed to use the word globe? Some people say it's flat, you know. I don't know, I don't want to cause a big controversy now. Right, that's it. Govinda Prabhu Ki Jai. Prabhupada used to say, he used to refer to the planets as globes, right? So as far as I can see, as I mentioned earlier, the globe's like a big firecracker right now, getting ready to explode. Why? Because there's no sacrifice. So Mahaprabhu comes and says, look, you people in the age of Kali, quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, above all, always disturbed, short duration of life, just let's keep it simple. Just chant, okay? Just chant. Let's keep it simple. You don't have to do any elaborate sacrifices. You can if you want. If you have the money, call in the Brahmins. But then again, Kali Yuga Brahmins, what are you getting involved in? Nobody really knows for sure. You know, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? I remember when my son had his first, you know, the grain ceremony where you put out the blanket and you put the money on one side and you put the books on the other side, you know. Those of you who know my son will find this amusing, right? When he was about a year, I think you do it when the child's about a year old or something. We did it at the Soho Street Temple, and we put him on the blanket, and the pound coins were at one end, and the books were at the other end, and he really took a long time, you know. He walked over to the money, didn't touch the money, then he walked over and looked at the books again. Then he walked back and looked at the money. Then he walked back and looked at the books. Then he walked back and looked at the money. Then he walked back and looked at the books. Finally, he took the books. Which I was surprised. I thought for sure he's going to go for those pound coins, you know, because they're golden color and they glitter and all that, you know. But the most important thing we do as devotees all day, I promise you, our most important service, okay, is the chanting of the holy name. And everything else we do is meant to support that. Everything. Our book distribution, our deity worship, our cooking, our cleaning, our programs, our this, that, this, that, this, that, this, that. I don't care what it is. Those are support activities. Supports for what? The holy name. What did Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? A very bold statement. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. He uses the word only. Now, here's a pure devotee. When the pure devotee says only, he means only. Now, what if someone doesn't have a taste? Most of us don't have a taste. So we chant 16 rounds, and what happens after that? Busy, 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 busy. Run here, run there, do this, do that. Why? Because we're not advanced enough to really dive deeply into the holy name. And Prabhupada used to say, 16 rounds on the beads, unlimited rounds off the beads. That's the most important thing in our life. What is it that spreads Krishna consciousness? What spreads Krishna consciousness is Krishna consciousness. It is self-perpetuating. So the more Krishna conscious we become, the more this movement will spread in the age of Kali. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Gataranyata, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. This is the age of Kali. If we're not sure what the age of Kali means, go on Google and look at the news. You'll find out right quick what the age of Kali is all about. War, conquest, pestilence, death, greedy politicians, you know. Everybody's now is on about World War III, you know. I mean, you know, if they drop one of those things, you know, if they drop a healthy-sized nuclear warhead on the United Kingdom, I mean, you know, what are we? Prabhupada used to say, make no plan for war, just grab your bead bag. You know, what are you going to do? Did you ever see one of those things go off? Wow, it's devastating. There was a great film that came out years ago, 1978, called Threads. It's about, yeah, you saw it. What would happen if a nuclear warhead was detonated over the North Sea, just off the coast, and what would happen to the town of Sheffield? Well, even though it was 1978, the computer-generated images were pretty good. Sheffield was almost erased. I don't know how they did it. That was early on for CGI. But it was so real. When I saw it, I actually felt like I was in the middle of a nuclear war. The first thing that happens is the wind. When that thing goes off, you see the mushroom cloud. First thing that comes in is all this wind, you know. The wind just comes in and blows, you know. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. The wind comes in and just takes everything. Picks up lorries and cars and throws them through the air like matchsticks, you know. In America, in the tornado belt down south, they get this kind of thing all the time, similar to a nuclear explosion. Then comes the heat. You know, people are walking down the street, and all of a sudden, they just burst into flames and incinerate. You know, what are we going to have time to do if that happens? You know, first we'll all become friends real fast. And after that, if we have time, we can chant Hare Krishna. Again, it always comes back to the same thing. You know, Jananivas from Mayapur, right? One of the twins. He was here some years ago giving a morning class about the holy name and how important it is. And he said, it doesn't matter what you think you are. You know, sometimes people say, who the hell you think you are, you know. He said, if you think you are the body, you think you are the mind, you think you are the soul, doesn't matter. Or you think you're a combination of those three. Whatever you think you are, chant the holy name. And Prabhupada said, everything is adjusted in the Supreme. So even if somebody's walking around in bodily consciousness, experiencing all kinds of distress, somebody thinks they're the mind, you know, hovering aloft in the mental spheres, or someone is actually advanced enough to be pursuing Krishna for the right reasons, it doesn't matter. Just chant the holy name. Who's the other one? Jayananda. I like Jayananda's comment the best. We celebrate his appearance day or disappearance day? Appearance day on our calendar. Jayananda was the father of Rathyatra in America, organized all the Rathyatra events. Jayananda is quoted as having said, so many things may come and go, just chant the holy name. If you meditate on that statement, it expands, you know. It's just bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So many things may come and go, just chant the holy name. You know, as time goes on, I'm beginning to realize why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta originally wanted the devotees to chant 64 rounds. He wanted his disciples to, and he said, anybody who doesn't do 64 is fallen. Right? Now, when Prabhupada first came in, he wanted all of us to do that. But we said, we can't. We're too busy. We're organizing, managing, distributing books, this, that, so many things. How can we, you know, chant 64 rounds? Then Prabhupada said, okay, 32. We couldn't even do that. And then finally Prabhupada said, all right, 16, but not less. 16 rounds a day is a concession. It's just a drop in the bucket. And those of us who have, in the past, somehow or other by Krishna's mercy, been able to chant 64 rounds, we know that up until that 64th round, Maya is still presenting all kinds of allurements. But after 64, I can promise you, it's 3, 2, 1, ignition, we have liftoff. And you step into the fourth dimension. You glimpse the fourth dimension. I think I was telling the devotees some time ago that about 2 months ago, a couple of devotee friends of mine and I visited this Buddhist temple in near Leighton Buzzard. It's called Great Gadsden. Temple's called Amaravati. And you know, their process is different. It's all about pranayama. So unlike our temple here, where there's a lot of sound and sight and everything's going on, chanting and preaching and, you know, people come in and we talk and chat and all that, up there it's just, they specialize in silence. You know, that's their prime commodity, silence, you know. And if you go in there and talk or make a sound, they'll mention to you to please be quiet. And I don't know if any of you have been there, but there's this huge temple room like this. And when you go in there and sit down, every time I go there, it's just completely quiet and there's hardly anybody there, just me and Buddha and the statues of their acharyas. And I find it an excellent place to chant Hare Krishna because it's complete mode of goodness. When you're surrounded by passion and ignorance, it's very, very difficult to chant. It is, unless you're a real Mahatma, like Srila Prabhupada was. So one day, I had a day off. So I thought, what am I going to do with this day off? I'll go to Amaravati and I'm just going to chant all day just to see what happens. You know? So I got there at 11 o'clock in the morning and I stayed till about 9:30 in the evening. And the only thing I did when I was there was chant. Right? When I got up to about 64 rounds, you know, I started feeling like, what am I doing here? How did I get to this material world? Something about this is very wrong. You know, you sort of like, after a while, after you reach a certain level of chanting, you actually feel like a stranger in a strange land, because that's what you are. We are strangers in a strange land. This is not our home. That image you see when you look in the mirror every morning, that's not you. Get it straight from now. That is not you. This is not me, thank God. You know? I can't see you right now, and you can't see me. I'm seeing your shell, you're seeing my shell. But I can promise you something. If you really get into your chanting, what did Prabhupada call it? Numerical strength. You'll see things you never saw before in your life. So I stayed there for the entire day. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, after the class, oh, Raghunath thinks he's a big devotee. No, I'm just sharing an experience with you. I know what it's like around here. But, you know, I'm just sharing an experience with you. Okay, you can take it or leave it or, you know, whatever. And so after 64 rounds, things really start to change. And yet I was thinking, wow, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was right. You know, I was looking at my hands, I was looking at my body, and I was thinking, the heck is this? You know? What is this? Then I could understand the three big questions. Who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? Now, just to digress for a moment, temple president of mine in the early days, and you probably know who it is anyway, when I first joined. Before he joined up with Srila Prabhupada, he was studying philosophy in university. So one day the professor came in and said, all right, students, I would like volunteers to come forward and write on the chalkboard their definition of philosophy. So, you know, people were coming up and writing on the board. And naturally the teacher would cut it to pieces, you know. So this devotee friend of mine, temple president, when it was his turn, he went up to the board and he wrote, philosophy means, who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? Now, the next bit is just goes to show you the present state of affairs. The professor went up and he said, that's very interesting. Who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? And with his piece of chalk, he slashed through each one. He said, my name is Ken Young. I've come from College Hall, and I'm going to Bennett Hall. Yeah. Mental speculation. Vimukta manina, liberated only in the mind. Why? Yenyera vindaksha vimukta maninas tuasta bhavat avishuddha buddhya. Their buddhi is not vishuddha, pure. It is avishuddha, not pure. Why? So many material desires. Desires for what? Pratishta, name, fame. You know what it's like at the university level for those professors? Publish or perish. You know? If you don't write books, you better write books to bring some glory to that school, because if you don't, you're out. That's it. You lose your tenure. Goodbye. You know? So, Aruya Krishna Parampadam Tata. They have no respect for Krishna's lotus feet. There's no bhakti going on. What's the result? Patanti. They fall down from their position of what? Imaginary superiority. You know? And we're all, you know, we all have this disease, you know? I'm the best. I'm the most realized. I'm the best devotee. I'm the best book distributor. I'm the most wonderful, you know, thing since sliced bread. What it reminds me of is, remember when you were a kid, I can remember back that far, you know, I really have to dredge up my memory now, because that was a long time ago. We used to go into the fields with our friends and find a hill, right? And everybody climbs up on top of the hill, and then you push each other to see if you can push each other off the hill. And the last person standing is the king of the hill. In England, they call it the king of the castle, which is appropriate. But it's the same thing, you know. Now, I've seen, you've seen, photographs. There are certain countries around the world who are finding it very difficult to dispose of their rubbish. So just on the outskirts of town, there are big hills, piles of hills that look like little mountains of rubbish. Right? So what happens? The cats come, the dogs come, the mice come, the rats come, the vultures come, the foxes come. They climb up on top of the hill and they fight to see who's going to be the king of the rubbish. That's what the material world is about. Anyway, back to Buddha. By the end of the day, at 9:30 in the evening, I had managed to chant, by Prabhupada's mercy, and please take this, you know, as, you know, we're all friends here and I'm not trying to prove anything. Those of you who know me know that, right? I finished off with 108 rounds. I was gone. I don't know who drove home in my car. It wasn't me. Somebody drove that car home, but I have no idea who it was. The holy name works, Prabhus. We have to take advantage of it. You want to find out you're not that body? You want to find out that every single thing that Prabhupada ever said is 100% true? Then chant, 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 and chant some more. I like that joke Prabhupada says, the wife is saying to the husband, chant, chant, chant. And he's saying, can't, can't, can't. In the beginning, it's difficult, but I can promise you something. At a certain level of chanting, when your numerical strength starts to increase, it gets easier and easier and easier. And after a while, you get the realization that, hey, this is all there is. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. This is all there is. Then you can begin to realize Lord Chaitanya's, you know, prophecies and his teachings and why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, take shelter of the holy name as your only business, you know. Only because really, think about it, that's all there is. In this age, why does Mahaprabhu come? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears to answer the call of Sri Advaita Acharya, to establish the Yuga Dharma and preach the glories of chanting the holy name. Because that is the spiritual zeitgeist for the age of Kali. So, you know, we're not in a position to do what Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda did, certainly, but we can chant the holy name. Prabhupada said for grihasthas, 50 rounds, right, before conception, and then after that, not for another year and a half until you want to have a child, you know. And the devotee said to Prabhupada, well, you might as well forget the whole thing. Prabhupada said, yes, that is the idea. Remember Vasudev Dutt? Wow, there's some realization for you. Remember Vasudev Dutt? What was his prayer? My Lord, let every living entity go back to Godhead, and I'll stay here and suffer everybody's karma. Wow, that's serious. That's really serious. And what did he say? Krishna won't mind one empty universe. That's a real telltale statement. Prabhupada said, Krishna didn't want us to come here. We forced him. He gives the example of the child says to the mother and father, I want to go here, I want to go there. The parents will say, no, this is not a good idea. The child will insist. And the parents will say, no, don't go there, you're going to get in trouble. The child will insist. Prabhupada said, finally the parents will say, all right, go at your risk. So we took a big risk coming here. And it was a conscious decision too. We chose to come here. Can you imagine we volunteered for this? We volunteered for birth, old age, disease, and death. Can you imagine? We actually volunteered for this. So, Durga. Durga means prison, right? And we're in it. This is a maximum security prison. And there's only one way out. You have to be paroled. You have to be pardoned by the governor. And who's the governor? Who's Gov? That's Krishna. We satisfy the desires of the pure devotee. We get promoted up the ladder from Shuddha to Prem. And when we reach the requisite qualification, the cell door opens, out we come. That's it. There's no other way. The chanting is the process. That's how we get out of this prison. And Durga, whoo, that's another thing. I'm going to finish on this point. I don't know if you've ever seen any deities of Maya, you know, but boy, she's really, wow, she's a stunner. I've been to a lot of Hindu temples. I've seen different deities of Maya, of Durga, especially in India. We were traveling, went up to the Himalayas in 1985. On the way back, we stopped in this one Hindu temple to sleep for, you know, the night. And they had an adjacent ashram. When we walked into the temple room, there was only one deity there, and that was Durga, Maya, riding on a tiger. All white marble. She wasn't painted. All white marble. The tiger was all white marble. She was gorgeous. A jaw-dropper. When I walked in and I saw her, I thought to myself, this has got to be the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my life. And then I caught myself. I said, right, and that's why you're here. That's exactly the reason why you're here. And I offered her a prayer. I said, my dear Durga, my dear Maya Devi, you know, now that I've really seen how beautiful you are up close and personal, I can understand that you're the reason why I've been rotating in the cycle of birth and death. Not that you're the reason, but I'm the reason. I have chosen to pursue you instead of Krishna. So you know what I said to her? Please cut me loose. Do me a big favor. Cut me loose. You are beautiful. You are gorgeous. You are the most... I mean, you know, go on the net. You'll Google it. Google Maya, Google Durga, you'll see some of the most exquisitely gorgeous deities you've ever seen. She's unbelievably attractive. But that's why we're here. And the only way we can break that attraction is through the chanting of the holy name. It always comes back. It always comes back to Nam, the holy name. So we need to take this chanting seriously, and wherever and whenever, try to increase it beyond 16. You know, and I can promise you, the more you chant, the more you will see. Not only about yourself, but Srimad Bhagavatam will come to life. Prabhupada says, someone who becomes Krishna conscious will see Krishna personally present in the pages. Why? Because this book is the literary form of Srila Prabhupada's voice. This is Prabhupada's voice speaking to us when we read. And the voice of the pure devotee channels Krishna. And Krishna is the supreme pure and purifier. All I can say, the only thing, a little advice I can give you, share with you, is take shelter of the holy name, because that's the only real shelter we have. It is the means and the end. They asked Prabhupada, what's the goal of chanting? Prabhupada said, more chanting. You know? Okay, we'll stop there. Thanks for your tolerance.